One of my favorite theologians, Jürgen Moltmann, says it like this. This is an open feast, talking about Holy Communion, for the tired and weary who have heard the call to be refreshed by the presence of the crucified one in the spirit of the resurrection. Do you hear that? This is an open feast for the tired. Are you tired? Are you ever weary? This is an open feast. Can you go back one for me one more time? I spoke of you too soon, Doug. I'm sorry. No. Just kidding. This is an open feast for the tired and the weary who have heard the call to be refreshed. To be refreshed by the presence of the crucified one and the spirit of the resurrection. Now, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, understood the Lord's Supper as a means of grace, which is a means through which persons experience and respond to the loving presence of God. When I did a unit of chaplaincy to be ordained in the United Methodist Church, I did my chaplaincy at Heartland East Hospital in St. Joe, Missouri. We would have a class every Monday. All day was classes. We didn't get into the patients' rooms at all on Monday. And in one class, we watched a video of a doctor by the name of Bill Bartholomew. He was professor of pediatrics. And Dr. Bartholomew was dying of cancer of the larynx at this time. And he had done some rethinking around the reality of death. He told a story about how he and his closest friends would go out in a field and discuss life in general, but more specifically, their lack of spirituality. Not long after Dr. Bartholomew had been diagnosed with cancer, one of his friends died suddenly. And the service for his friend was in the very field that they often met, and this man's spouse brought his ashes to be scattered in the field. As Dr. Bartholomew listened to his friend's spouse tell everyone what she wanted to take place, he couldn't believe it. She wanted them to walk up to the urn and grab a handful of ashes and then walk to a place in the field and have a prayer or silence or whatever they want and throw the ashes up in the air so his ashes would be spread all over this field that they love so much and become friends to. Well, after he threw it up in the air and as he continued to stand there, he realized that the ashes had formed this greasy substance on his hand, and he was trying to figure out what he should do with it. And as he stood there, he thought about wiping it on his suit, but it was this, he knew it would leave a gray smear on his dark suit, and so he thought, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees, and I'm going to wipe this on the ground, and people will think I'm praying. And so as he was getting down on his hands and knees, he heard a voice that says, don't wipe it off. And he kind of looked around wondering who was talking to him. And he still continued to wipe it off, or just begin wiping it off. And the voice says, don't wipe it off. And he kind of did one of these and says, what do I do with it? And the voice said, lick it off. Can you imagine his response? What? And just in case he thought he had misunderstood, the voice again said, lick it off. And so as he began licking off his friend's ashes from his hands, as a medical doctor, he began thinking about this. And he said, I realized that as I was swallowing my friend's ashes, those ashes were being digested and his genes and his DNA were becoming a part of my body and I would live with my friend until I died. You see, as he began to do this, he began to rethink about his friend's life. And you see, no matter what we think about Holy Communion, whether we have a Roman Catholic understanding of where the bread and the juice literally become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, or whether it's more of a United Methodist understanding where the bread and the juice are so saturated with Jesus' Spirit, with God's Holy Spirit, that it's in and around and above and below and within its molecules so saturated with the Holy Spirit. Either way, when we take